Welcome to this week's music sesh on the Community Campfire. I'm here with my co-host, Mitch Elliott.
Hey, John.
And sitting in studio with us is do-it-yourself rock star, Dr. Bob is the name of the band, Jeffrey Howery is the name of the man. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, John and Mitch. Actually, a lot of people call me Dr. Bob also. That is correct. The name of the band is Dr. Bob. We started Dr. Bob 44 years ago here in Park City, right down the street in 923 Park Avenue in 1982. If you're driving up Park Avenue these days, it's the house with the full-size Sasquatch in front. Yeah. That's where we started the Dr. Bob band in 1982. A lot of people think my name is Dr. Bob.
Yeah.
And people ask me, are you a real doctor? I tell them I'm not even a real Bob.
Tell us a little bit about the history of your group, how you guys started, and how you got 44 years later to here today.
Actually, my history in Park City precedes Dr. Bob. I first started playing music in Park City in 1977. I was a student at the University of Utah. And I had a band. I worked at the Chronicle. I was the editor of the Chronicle at the University of Utah. And several of my friends at the newspaper, we started a band called the Barney Fife Band.
Love it.
Which was, of course, a tribute to Don Knotts' character on the old Andy Griffith show. So I started playing music in Park City before Dr. Bob. I came up here in 77, 78 with the Barney Fife Band. The first places we played up here, one of them was the Rusty Nail up at the resort. But the most interesting place we started playing in 77 was a standalone bar down in the corner of the parking lot at the resort. It's where Shadow Ridge Condos are now. I've searched with some of the old timers to find out what the name of the place was. And last year, a well-known local named Bob Theobald told me that the place was named the Ore House and that his father was the bartender there.
And then Dr. Bob, how did that come together?
In the late 70s, I was at the University of Utah. And through my work there as a journalist, I got a job at Rolling Stone in New York. So from 1979 through 82, I went and lived in Manhattan in New York and worked at Rolling Stone. And I moved most of the Barney Fife Band with me in 79 to New York, thinking we were going to have connections at Rolling Stone, and we did. But the one woman in particular who I moved with us as part of the band, her name was Betsy Connor. She's now Betsy Connor Pott. She lives in Portland. But she and I, the Barney Fife Band slowly fell apart in New York, but she and I bonded. And in 82, we moved back to Park City and started Dr. Bob. So we'd come right out of New York. And the two of us founded the band, Betsy Connor Pott and myself. She moved to Portland about 25 years ago and is absolutely killing it in Portland. She's got two bands up there of her own. And a lot of locals still know her. She was one of the most popular bartenders in town, too, in the 80s and 90s. So that's how Dr. Bob started. That was 44 years ago. We're still playing and still functioning online. And we are playing our 44th anniversary concert tomorrow at Prospector Park, 5 to 8 p.m., the park on the edge of town as you leave town. So people can come see Dr. Bob tomorrow, Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m. in Prospector Park for our 44th anniversary concert.
Well, very exciting, and congratulations on 44 years. Can you tell us a little bit about your guys' style of music?
I write songs. It's sort of a schizophrenic band in a way over the years. Our live shows are largely covers. My originals are online at our website. We've got 11 albums out. The website is drbobjdh.com, my three initials. But I think if you put in Dr. Bob Park City, you'll probably get there. There's two Dr. Bobs. The originals are based on classic rock. And by that, I mean 60s and 70s, not Motley Crue and Def Leppard, whatever some people think is classic rock.
Sure.
So my all-time seven favorite artists are the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, The Who, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, The Doors, and Bob Dylan. So that's kind of where we're coming from.
Let's hear a little something that you put together. What's the first song you're going to play for us?
Well, because I've been a starving artist in Park City for the last 44 years, I've supported myself as a day laborer, working odd jobs and whatever. So this first song is inspired by my career as a day laborer here in Park City, and it's called Rented Mule.
All right, here's Rented Mule on the Community Campfire. Take it away.
One lesson have I learned at a great and tragic cost. The boss ain't always right, but he always is the boss. Rented mule, oh, they work me like a fool. Ignorance my tool, man, they're taking me to school. Working me just like a rented mule. I am young and I am strong and I build houses all day long. And with a hammer in my hand, not a boy, I am a man. Boy, I only sing this song 'cause I think there's something wrong. When the harder that I work, you know, the more my chain gets jerked. But man, I'm trying to be cool. Oh, they play me for a fool, so I'll leave it up to you. Do I look like a rented mule? Rented mule. Oh, they work me like a fool. Ignorance my tool, man, they're taking me to school. Working me just like a rented mule. And they give all the best jobs to the boss's son. And his mama takes his money when the day is done. And if he starts into complaining, she says, we taught you, son, that you always gotta look it out for number one. Rented mule, oh, they work me like a fool. Ignorance my tool, man, they're taking me to school. Working me just like a rented mule. Just like Tennessee Ernie Ford when he's singing 16 tons, or Johnny Paycheck when he told that boss, stick this stinking job. Hoss, I only sing this song 'cause I think there's something wrong. When the harder that I work, you know, the more my chain gets jerked. But man, I'm trying to be cool. Oh, they play me for a fool, so I'll leave it up to you. Do I look like a rented mule? Rented mule. Oh, they work me like a fool. Ignorance my tool, man, they're taking me to school. Working me just like a rented, hold on boss, can you wait 1 minute? Working me just like a rented mule.
Well, I can tell you worked on that song as hard as those other jobs you were on around town.
When you're out there in the middle of the Rocky Mountain blizzards, working, shoveling snow, you have a lot of time to think and write songs.
That's awesome. You also wrote a book, is that correct?
Yes. As I've indicated previously, I was in another universe, another time, a long time ago. I was a functioning journalist. I wrote for Rolling Stone and was an editor there. I'm a pretty capable writer. And a couple of years ago, I started to realize that, you know, at the end of your career as a 44-year leader of a bar band, there are no 401ks waiting at the end of the trail. So out of sheer desperation brought on by intense poverty, I decided I better try to write a book just in case maybe that might lead to some money or something one day. So I wrote a book called DIY Rockstar. I don't want to do spoiler alerts, but it does have a happy ending in Park City.
I'm looking at some of the crazy hair on the cover of this book, man. It's a different age back then, huh?
Well, your old buddy Randy Barton, the legendary talk jock, used to claim that I had a mullet, which I refused to acknowledge. I had an early 70s hard rock haircut, like something out of the Rolling Stones or a fog hat would have probably been more accurate. I never had a mullet, but I had hair halfway down my back. I guess, you know, I mean, long hair is still fashionable. I don't know what's in or out anymore, but
mullets are in now.
Are they really? Mullets are huge right now.
I also know, you know, you young people are all wearing mustaches now, which I've really support that.
Neither Mitch or I are sporting the stash right now.
But... you might. You might someday. You might catch up with
it. Who knows? November's coming soon enough. In the book, it's all the fun stories of being a rocker in town? Or?
You would think so, but actually the book, a lot of it is my early life. I've got a second book ready to go about Park City and the bar scene here, but I'm not going to write another free book. When you write a book for Amazon, you give your first book away because they got the rights tied up. I do have a second book ready to go, but I'd have to get a literary agent or somebody to give me an advance to write it. So this book is mostly before Park City, although there's three chapters about Betsy Connor. And that does get into Park City quite a bit. But there's a lot of stories about, a turning point in my life was in 1967. I was 12 years old. I saw The Who when they were unknown. They had just played the Monterey Pop Festival. They'd just gotten to the United States. I saw them at the Illinois State Fair open for the association, and they destroyed everything on stage. They were kind of known as a crazy novelty act. They weren't famous at all. It was way before Tommy, way before Who's Next, way before Woodstock. We were in the fourth row. The girl, a couple of seats away from me, got a big chunk of Pete Townsend's guitar by the time he was done. There was nothing on the stage that wasn't destroyed. It's those kind of stories. Also, there's a chapter about the 8 hours I spent with the legendary gonzo journalist Hunter Thompson at the University of Utah campus. He was hired to speak down there, and through some fortuitous circumstances, a friend and I picked him up at the airport and spent 8 hours with Hunter Thompson, and he was the real deal. I used to think all of his craziness, like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, was made up. It's still kind of a fog. We partied for 8 hours. We were supposed to take him to the law school where we were speaking. We got him there an hour late, and then we went up to the University of Utah Student Union building, and by then, my friend and I were on stage with him. We were like his handlers and announcing him. And so there's a lot of stories like that. The Hunter Thompson chapter is very entertaining. So the book mostly predates Park City. It's a lot about New York and a lot about the University of Utah.
So now you are doing an anniversary concert tomorrow, 44 years. Are you bringing back some of the people that have played with you over the 44 years?
Or
do we expect tomorrow?
We've invited some. The Dr. Bob Band is a very loose organization, and we'll see who shows up. I will be there. I guarantee that. I know the backbone of the band will be Tony Korologos. He's an awesome drummer from Salt Lake. He was the backbone of the Gamma Rays for years, which was the best punk band ever to come out of Salt Lake. So we'll see who shows up, but Tony and I are going
to
be there.
Before we get to your next song here, I'm so curious. You've stayed here for 44 years. What is it about Park City that's made you want to stay in this scene in particular?
Probably a lack of options to go anywhere else. No, I love Park City, but I've seen it go through so many changes. When I got here, the miners were still here. In fact, one of the miner that was a mayor for years and years, Bill Sullivan, his son, Mark Sullivan, wound up playing drums with us for years. It's a wonderful place. It's a beautiful place. The heavy hitters, the people that run the town come and go. I've tried to stay clear of local politics. I don't get involved in the latest controversies. So to me, Park City's been a kind of a blissful place because ignorance is bliss, and I don't pay too much attention to the day-to-day doings. I love Park City, the place.
Yeah. So if you wanted to give some advice to some young bands coming up to survive for 44 years in the music business, what would be your advice for doing that?
My advice would be never give advice.
Okay.
Fair enough. Find your own way, right?
Exactly.
Dr. Bob or Jeffrey, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
We're going to end the show with one of your original songs. What are you going to play to end the show today?
We're going
to
play a tribute song to Bob Marley, and it's called Rastaman.
All right. Here's Rastaman to end Community Campfire. Dr. Bob, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you guys so much. Tomorrow, Saturday at 5 p.m. in the Prospector Park.
When the rustler men talk, all the people gonna listen, and the boys and the girls start a hugging and a kissing. When the rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk, all the people gonna say, gonna cross the River Jordan to the brighter day. Rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk. When the rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk, be love in the sky, all Jah's children see eye and eye. Rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk, be love everywhere, all Jah's children wear flowers in their hair. Rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk, he ain't joking, son, quoting Kris Kristofferson. Jesus was a Capricorn, ate organic food. He believed in love and peace, never wore no shoes. A long hair beard and sandals, a funky bunch of friends. Reckon they'd just nail him up, he come back again. 'Cause everybody got to have somebody to look down on, who they can feel better than any time they please. Someone doing something dirty decent folks can frown on. You can't find nobody else, help yourself to me. When the rustler men talk, when the rustler men talk,